Amen. Let's just remain standing and pray. Yes, Father, we just come before you this morning. I'm thankful and grateful to be here this morning. And we can celebrate, Lord, this morning, the very fact that you did arise, that you rose from the dead. You rose victorious. And we can, may we be able to understand, Lord, that we can experience the very same thing in our lives and rising up above, rising victorious above sin, above this world, in the sense that it doesn't become our problem anymore. But you have done it for us, and we rejoice in that this morning, and we celebrate that this morning, Father. And Lord, today we just ask again that you would come and be with us and dwell with us today and speak to our hearts. Give us revelation from heaven, not from me in any way, but Lord, that we would hear from you again this morning, that you would bring confirmation to the congregation, Lord, that what you've laid upon my heart is true and is from you, Lord. May your name be lifted up and praised and glorified amongst your people. Just commit this time in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm sorry I'm a little late this morning, and I had a few things that didn't work out quite how I planned, and I was put to the test a little bit, and my faith was tested. And anyways, God is good, and I just reminded again that God is not, I don't know how I want to say this. Anyways, I'm just going to go on. I'm not making any excuses. It's good to be here. I want to give an outline or an introduction, if you will, to the topic that I'm going to be talking about this morning. And it's not necessarily having to do with Easter, even though it does include that. But in the way of an introduction, I would like to share with you an example or a characteristics of two different horses, two different horses that made it into the top 10 of the most powerful horses in the world. And even though these two barely made it in the top 10, I would like to talk about them this morning because they were of two different character, or they were natured completely the opposite from one another. And, so I want to use them this morning, and the reason I want to use them is because, you know, we're not all natured the same, even though when we are born we are. We do have a sin nature, which is, there in that sense it's all alike, but we're not all gifted the same, if you will. But the first horse I want to bring to your attention and I want to draw a picture of is a Mustang. It's a Mustang horse, and I didn't believe this would make it into the top 10, but it did based on the study that I took. A Mustang, some of you are familiar with a Mustang. I think Brother Allen is. I don't know that he ever had one, but I do know of people that used to own Mustangs, and is a native to the western parts of America and is noted for their wild and hard-to-control nature. That's what they're known for. However, those who manage to tame these majestic beasts hold a serious amount of power at their reins. They were originated from Liberia, today known as Spain. They become well known here in the U.S. for their strength and mobility. Mustangs have a muscular build, but will typically weigh between 700 and 800 pounds. It's kind of amazing that they made it into the top 10. Ford, the Ford Motor Company, named one of their sports cars after this animal, the Mustang. The other horse, I've never really heard of this name before. I've always referred to them as draft horses. But the other horse that was, the Mustang was the number 10, and the Suffolk was number 9. And the reason I used the Suffolk, I believe it's in the draft horse family. We would refer to them as draft horses or workhorses. Also commonly referred to as the Suffolk Punch. These kind of horses are capable of pulling extremely heavy loads for long periods of time, which is why they were used for both farm work and carriage transport. A Suffolk horse has a short neck, compact, muscular bodies, and are gentle in nature. And unlike a large Mustang at 800 pounds, these gentle giants weigh in at on an average of 2,200 pounds. I have no idea how they base the strength of a horse and how they tier them and put them in the categories. I have no idea. But it is also interesting to me this morning that the size of the engine inside the vehicle that you drove in here this morning was measured by horses. When they put an engine in our vehicles, they determined what amount of horsepower that vehicle needed, and it was based upon something that I think it was a Scottish engineer named James Watt that adapted it into the late 18th century to compare the output of steam engines with the power of draft horses. It was later expanded to include the output power of other types of piston engines, as well as turbines, electric motors, and other machinery. The definition of the unit varied among geographical regions. Most countries now use the SI unit, watt, for measurement of power, and I'm not sure what that means. But anyways, all that being said, there's a couple things that we want to glean from these horses. And number one was their usefulness, what they were used for, and we'll get to them as we go here. But the title of this meditation that I want to talk about this morning is How We Hear. How We Hear. As I looked up this term, and it became a burden to me here some time ago. I don't realize sometimes how critical I am of others. And so I think it was a little over a month ago or so. It was not the last time, but one of the times when Alan was preaching on the book of Romans, I'm really enjoying the topic in the preaching of that and the study of that of the book of Romans. But when he would come up here, he spent half of his time reviewing what he had preached the time before. And so I mentioned something to him, and he was very gracious to me. But I felt like I was critical. And he was very gracious, and he thanked me for saying something. But what he really could have told me was that, yes, Joe, it would be nice if I wouldn't have to go over and review these things as much as I do. But he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So I don't have to repeat myself over and over. That is kind of the burden that I want to share. It's something the Lord has been speaking to me about. It's something that I feel is of utmost importance. Even as we are here today, you can hear everything that is being said. You can hear everything that's being said physically. But if, depending on how you hear and apply it to your heart, will determine whether or not it did you any good to even come here today. And so that is the point that I wanted to make. You know, my children remind me of, a lot of times I see things from my own perspective, and I I don't understand. It's a fault of mine. Being critical is a fault of mine, and I want to acknowledge that this morning. I do not want to be critical of things, but I believe that if I would hear rightly, if I would hear from the Lord, I wouldn't be quite as critical in my judgments that I have and that I make. So I think it is very important that we hear from the Lord, and that we're not just hearing physically, but that we are seeing how what we hear really applies to my own heart. So I guess that leaves us to the challenge that I want to lay before us is how many of you feel like you know your own heart this morning? How many of you feel like you know what is the condition of your own heart? You know, we say that faith and obedience are inseparable. We cannot separate those two. And I don't think that you can separate obedience from faith at all. But I do believe that there is a way. There's an emphasis that can be put on obedience that doesn't have faith. And so I think, on one hand, I think they are not. I don't think they are quite the same. But on another hand, I can't find one example in Scripture where there was a man of faith that didn't obey, that didn't have obedience. I don't think you can have faith without obedience. I do believe there's instances where you can put the emphasis on obedience and not necessarily have faith attached to it. Now, I'm open for correction. That's not something I'm pushing this morning. That's not my point for saying this. My point for saying this is I think the more important thing that God wants to show us is that faith cometh through what? Faith cometh through hearing. And hearing comes from the Word of God. And if the condition of my heart, and I'm going to put myself right on the very front of this. If I would truly know the condition of my heart, it's a scary thing, because if there's an attitude, depending on who's up here behind the pulpit, who is portraying the Word of God. God uses men, and He uses, this morning He's using someone like me. And so now you're going to have to receive the Word of God from someone like me. And that might be a challenge to you. But if the condition of your heart is right, it doesn't matter who's up here. The condition of your heart is right. You'll hear from the Lord, and you'll make application to your own life. And so I want to say this. God bless you, Brother Allen, for making reviews as important as you do. Because hearing, I would really like to know what percent of what we really hear physically, actually, we make a reality in our lives. And it's a scary thing. When I started examining my own heart, what all I found and what all the Lord showed me, it was not a pretty picture. The condition of my own heart and how I... Okay, so let's just, for an example, look at the sower that went out to sow. Let's look at the sower, and I'm going to turn in Luke chapter 8. It says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. And some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and soon it was sprung up, withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And immediately after these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, so... All right, so it was the sower's fault that he went and sowed the seeds. It was his fault that some of them landed on the rock, right? It was his fault that some of them landed among the thorns. It was his fault that some of them went by the wayside. No, it was not. He was doing his duty. He was doing his job. And it was up to you to have your soil prepared. It was up to me to be prepared to receive that seed. And if I do not receive that seed, there are three different ways here that he describes that the seed, it springs up. We'll give a few of them here. It can be the cares of this life, the thorns, the thistles. They came, you know, when the seed took root, the thorns and the thistles, they come and overtook them and just choked them. And it, you could be coming here this morning and you know that you need more of God in your life. But when you get home tonight, you are bogged down with the business and with the cares of this life and whatever it is that it takes it and it just chokes out the word. Or the ones that fell by the wayside, you know, there are so many different things that will steal and rob you from the Word of God. And it is your responsibility to have the soil in a condition or in a manner to receive it so that it brings forth a hundredfold. It's not the sower is only doing what he's supposed to be doing. The condition of our heart, how we hear. I want us to go, I'm going to go back to this. These horses that I talked about. I'm going to go back to this Mustang, and let's just go back. You know, today horse transportation is almost unheard of, except amongst the Amish people. And I don't even. There might still be some that use Mustangs, but I know that they were popular in the western part of the United States. And so I want to just go back 100 years and just use this as an example here or an analogy of you live on a ranch or you're a cattle farmer and your means of transportation is on the back of a horse and you're riding a horse and these Mustangs are out running wild and they're just, you can't get to them, but you spot this one horse, this Mustang out there that you could see that would really be nice if you could own that horse and use that horse. And I want to use that as a reference that God, your Creator, is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth for someone who might be found faithful. And you spot that horse and you look at that horse and you say, I want that horse. I can use that horse. If I had that horse on my farm, I could turn that beast into something very useful. I could turn him, he could profit me and benefit me, and I would make him feel like he belongs somewhere. And in that horse's mind, he don't want nothing to do with you. He don't want you anywhere near him because in his nature, his wild nature, he already knows, he already thinks he knows what he needs in life. And he does not need a master. But this guy, he outsmarts this horse and catches him, overtakes him, and he brings him into his control. I don't know how he's going to do that. Maybe roping him. I know they're pretty fast, so he had to outsmart him. But our Creator, he is always smarter than we are. Don't ever think he's not. And he doesn't take us fast. He doesn't go. He does come after us, but he doesn't force us to do anything. But the very first thing that this man does with his horse when he brings him into his possession is what? What's the very first thing he would do? He breaks him. What does he break? His will. He breaks this. He knows that the only way this horse is going to work for him is if I break his will. And if I can break his will, he'll work for me. And so that's what God wants to do in my life, in my heart today, is he wants me to come to a place where I can say, you know, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. I always have a choice. But if I always have to push my will And if there's a will in me that constantly wants to push something, God is not having dominion in your life, in my life. He wants my will to be laid down. He wants His will to become my will. And it's called being broken. It's called, not my will, but Your will be done, Lord. There's a picture in a Bible, and I don't know where it's I can't reference the exact verse, but it says it talks about a man who walks up to a glass and beholds himself in a glass, in a mirror. He looks at himself in a mirror, and he walks away and completely forgets what he looks like. Don't be that man. When we examine our heart and the condition of our heart, don't be deceived by what you think is in your heart, but evaluate your heart based upon how the Lord is speaking to you. Evaluate your heart based upon, I want to just say that faith, real faith, real faith will only come to reality in our lives when the condition of our heart is turned towards God and our heart is right before God. Only at that point in time, if we come, and it does matter. I do care whether or not you're born again or not, but you can be born again and you can come into a church service and you can listen to the preacher and you can hear everything he said and you can say in your heart, I already know that. And you can walk away here and be very deceived into thinking that I've already made that application. I have done that. And that's the reason, that's how I know it can be done, because I've done it. And it's to my shame that I share this, but it's very real. It's very real. Faith, I believe, true faith always depends on the condition of our heart. The other horse that I wanted to talk about, this horse, even though it was totally natured, and by the way, God is very interested in our nature, what kind of nature we have. This man that is broken, or the man that is not broken, God is interested, very interested in what kind of nature that we are and what we're made of. And God wants to continually change our nature. It's not like God is never satisfied. It's not like God is, he's just never quite happy. We just can never conform good enough. It's just that God wants to change us from this person to this person. And he can't take us from this person to this person without taking this small step right here. And God is very gracious, and He takes us in small steps. If you think He's pushing you five steps too much, He's not. He's changing you more and more into His image. He's changing us more and more into His likeness. He's making His will our will step by step. And it's not that He's never happy. It's just that we can't handle going from here to being like God. We can't handle that in one motion. He keeps changing us. And there's always impurities that He's cleaning out of our lives. But if we think that it's already done, He's already done this, We're deceiving ourselves. Anyways, I don't want to take up much more time here. I wanted to talk a little bit about our heart, and I don't think I've got some references. My mind is a little bit of a mix this morning. Jeremiah, I mentioned this verse last Sunday, 17 verse 9, that now, saying this, I'm not accusing any of us to have a wicked heart here this morning. I appreciate every one of us to the utmost, in the sense that I do not sense that there are wicked people here sitting here this morning that I'm trying to preach to or teach something to. But God tells us, we have an enemy, and ultimately we believe that our biggest enemy is Satan, and our next biggest enemy is the world. But you know what? I'm going to say that there's another enemy within yourself that is more deceitful or more deceiving than either one of those two. I can't say that honestly, but I wonder sometimes how close this is. There's another enemy within us, and it is our own will. He is an enemy of ours. It is our own. You know, when this Mustang got broken, he was operating under his own horsepower, under his own will for these years, all these years. And he thought he was doing okay. He was content. He wanted nothing to do with it. He knew that was his lot in life. He didn't want anything better. But when that guy got a hold of him and he captured him and he broke his will, he actually made him feel like he belonged somewhere. He made him feel like he has a purpose in life. And when he went to work, I think there was things that he was able to accomplish that he didn't have any idea was within him. So no longer was he working on his own will, but he was working under the power of another. He was being authorized by someone else, and he was being directed in life, and he felt like he had a purpose. Now I just want to throw that in there. And then the other thing I wanted to say was the Suffolk. Even though he was gentle by nature, he was not this wild horse. Left to himself, he was still of no value by himself. This same horse that was completely differently natured, he was born to get in front of a plow. He was born to work all day long. He just didn't know it. And he is able to work all day long and be endurance, amazing endurance. But he could never be useful until his will was broken also. And so even though they were both of two different natures, they still didn't have, they were not brought, they, neither one of them were broken. And so we're not all gifted, natured the same in the sense that, but we all need broken. And I do. And it didn't matter that I was broken 19 years ago or 18 years ago or however long it was since I've come to the Lord. I need to be broken today. I need to be broken today just like I was back. I need more brokenness in my life. And may God help us. I think that's all I have. I was going to refer a few different places. And I think Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it says, I want to just... the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, again, this is not, I'm not talking to you about, I'm just asking you, do you know the condition of your own heart? That's what I'm asking you. And if God is showing you clearly the condition of your own heart, praise God. But keep in mind that sometimes our biggest enemy is our own perception of ourselves. Sometimes if we really want to know who we are, let's ask God what we look like. Or maybe let's ask our brother, what do I really look like? And so, amen. God bless you. That's all I have. And I hope I didn't condemn anyone. I surely wasn't trying to. But I hope this can be an encouragement and make us more effective. God bless you.